Okay, so welcome back, everybody. Today's goal is to understand Musaf, not just on Yom Kippur, but Musaf and all the holidays. I'll start with a little introduction to davening. I just want to begin with the direction I'm going in. I want to highlight a parallel between our Musaf davening and Moshe Rabbeinu going up to get the second Luchot. Remember, Moshe goes up twice for 40 days, first for the first Luchot, and then prays, and then goes up for the last 40 days to get the second Luchot. Now, what happened? Someone can tell me, what happened when Moshe came down with the second Luchot? What was special that, like, even Christians know?
His face was shining.
His face was shining. Now, do you know a song in Rosh Hashanah that sounds like that?
Mari Kohen?
Yeah. Mari Kohen uses exactly that imagery of the Kohen Gadol leaving the Kodesh Kodeshim with his face shining. Now, that same Kohen Gadol who leaves the Kodesh Kodeshim with his face shining, was he able to eat and drink that day? He couldn't eat and drink. Did he go in all alone into the Kodesh Kodeshim?
Yeah.
No one else was allowed to be there with him? Okay. Now, what's in the Kodesh Kodeshim? The Luchot. Right? What's the Moshe going to get? The second Luchot. Right? What does God tell him when he gets the second Luchot?
Don't break them.
Come with the attributes of mercy.
Yeah.
Isn't that Rosh Hashanah davening in a nutshell? In Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So that's not a shir. That's just an introduction. But I'm trying to show you that there's tons of parallels. And what I want to try and show you in today's shir is that if I want to understand Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur davening, and what we do in Musaf, what's happening on Yom Kippur, I want to claim is we're reliving Har Sinai, but not Har Sinai of the first Luchot, Har Sinai of the second Luchot. It's sort of Shavuos, take two. And last week what we talked about was that once a year, the temple needs a cleansing kind of idea, but the main thing is we need to restart, almost like Rosh Chodesh kind of idea. We're restarting, even though he did nothing wrong. The idea is, remember, we saw the Mizbech Torah once a year. We need to have some type of Kippurim on the Mizbech once a year. And the question is, are we cleansing the sins of last year? Or are we simply preparing for another year of encountering God and meeting our boss and having that employee review? So I wanted to go primarily, they're not mutually exclusive, but I want to show you how Yom Kippur in many ways is getting ready for another year of service of God. Remember, with the employee relationship as opposed to the consumer relationship with God. So let's take a quick look, and I'll begin the share now, and we'll talk about davening a little bit. And let me share my screen. I think I can share now. Okay, that's good. Okay, so today is class number 3 in our Tishrei month of holidays, or holiday month series. Today's topic is the meaning of Musaf of Yom Kippur in light of Vayikra chapter 16. The main goal is to simply study the Torah reading for Yom Kippur. That would be a boring title. But the Torah reading of Yom Kippur is very much related to what we do in Musaf. So I'm going to begin with the key difference between, this is very general, the first 10 minutes. What's the key difference between tefillah on weekdays and holidays? Okay, I'm going to stop the screen for a minute so you don't be can. Can someone tell me, what's the main difference when we daven Shmoneh Esrei? How is Shmoneh Esrei different on the holidays as opposed to on every day?
No bakasha.
Code are taken out, and with a bracha that has to do with the day.
Okay, so the bracha is about the day, okay? And there is no blessing about, there's no requests for day-to-day needs. And if during laning you're going to ask God to pray for someone, let's say someone's ill, what's your matir? What do you say? What's your nishabas karet? Shabbat timi lizok. Even though you're not supposed to cry on Shabbos, we're going to cry it anyhow. Remember? We call that nishabas karet. Which means in general, we don't ask for our needs. But if we're davening Shmoneh Esrei, which is tefillah, we're asking for our needs. So there is something we're asking for, on including Shabbos. I'm putting Shabbos together with Yom Tov, because weekdays as opposed to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? What is it that we do pray for? Ever think about that? There's something we are praying for, otherwise it wouldn't be prayer. What are we praying for on the holidays? Is that a good question? The question is better than the answer I'm going to give you. Now, if you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, that's tefillah. If you're davening, if you have shevach before bakasha, okay? We're asking God for something. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Shmoneh Esrei. We wouldn't say titkabel tzlotom. We wouldn't say tayish titkabel if we weren't asking, praying for something.
We're asking that we should, have the skill to observe the holiday properly.
It could be we're asking, we're praying that God gives us the ability to keep the holiday. But I want to bring a proof from the sitter or from the moxer. It's super simple. Now, we'll talk about Atavaratanu in a little bit, but the main prayer is Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Whenever you say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, you're about to pray for something, right? So I'm going to show you what we pray for. I'm going to share what we pray for on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are a unit. Now, what we pray for on Rosh Hashanah is not what we pray for on Yom Kippur, but there's one phrase that has Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shal Shogalim. There's one phrase that everyone has. I'll share that with you. I'm going to show it to you in Rosh Hashanah davening, and then you'll tell me where Shabbos kicks in. Okay, let's take a look. I'll share my screen. Here we go. I stole from a machzor and I formatted it a little bit, and we have here. We'll do Atav Vachartano later on. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu is a prayer. Agreed? We're praying that God be king over his entire creation. Remember, Rosh Hashanah is a new year for everybody. It's not a Jewish new year. It's everyone's new year. But we're the first to make God king. Okay? But we're announcing God's kingdom over everyone. And we're hoping that, in other words, God can be the El HaKadosh. A king is only king if he has subjects. God could have all the power. If no one recognizes him, he's not a king. He's a god. But you're only king when you're Nima, when people recognize you, when people accept you. So we're hoping that everyone recognizes God. Okay? And your glory should be over the entire land. Remember, Kol Aretz is not the land of Israel, it's the whole, God's whole creation. And this is universal as could be. Okay? Every living thing that moves works should know that you're the one giving him the ability to work. And everything created should know that you're the one giving him the ability to be creative, to be created. Okay? Now listen carefully. This is a shir now in Rosh Hashanah. Every living person should say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, which means, Hashem, the God that Israel is talking about, he's everyone's king. You know, if we're chosen to make a name for God, we're hoping for that our goal as God's people will be fulfilled. And therefore, we're saying that this idea, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, doesn't mean the God who takes care of Israel, the God that the people of Israel talk about. I have this maybe discussion. I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure. Did Rabbi Jay, did you get to Shmoneh Esrei yet in your series on davening? In the first line of Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Brocha Ata Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzhak Elokei Yaakov. When we talk about the God of Abraham, is that the God who took care of Abraham? Is that the God that Abraham discovered, through deductive reasoning? Is that the God who Abraham, or is that the God who Abraham talked about? And okay, Yitzchak, is that the God who took care of Yitzchak or the God that Yitzchak talked about? If I didn't have Chumash, I'd question it. But because in Chumash, what does Avram do for a living? He calls out in God's name, as does Yitzchak, and Yaakov's dream is to do that. So in my understanding is, in the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, we're talking about our ancestors, because what did they do? They made a name for God by talking about him, by how they talked and how they acted. And therefore, in our praise of God, we sing our ancestors talked about you, made your name great, okay? And we want to do the same thing. And therefore, if you bring redemption for us, that'll make your name great because we're talking about you. But then Melech was there, and therefore we're asking God to protect us and save us, and that'll make your name great. So number one, on Rosh Hashanah, we're praying specifically that our goal as the Jewish people should be fulfilled. That our goal should be fulfilled. Now, to facilitate that, we have to be doing our job properly. But praying that God's kingdom should be recognized by everyone, and we should help facilitate that, that's a transformative prayer that affects how you behave. It means you care about what other nations think about you. You care about other people and how you're viewed. Okay? And your kingdom is everywhere. Now, How will that happen? Now we're praying, Katshenu b'mitzvotecha v'ten chalkenu b'torotecha. Okay? You know, make it special by our keeping your mitzvot. And our portion should be following your Torah. Okay? Allow us to enjoy your good, sabim tevecha. And we should be happy with your redemption. And now, in my opinion, the key of all davening. On Shabbos in Yom Tov, what is it? V'taher libeinu lovdacha be'emet. Which means what? That's a prayer, isn't it? That's not praise. That's a prayer that even though we're serving God and we want to serve God, we're praying to God that we're going to do it, but in a pure way and do it in a truthful way. It's easy to serve God, to keep mitzvot, but people can do it in a phony way. And praying now, but we're praying on Shabbat when we have time to reflect on our week and our holidays and we're reflecting on bigger themes. We're praying to God on the holidays and that main prayer that we're good servants of God. We recognize we're chosen to serve God. We'll see that in the introduction in a minute. But the main thing we're praying for is Vatera de Bein Rav Tcha Be'emet. Since I just came from the dedication of Rav Vital Center in Yeshiva, this is Rav Vital's most popular song. He sang on Simchas Torah, but and also on davening. Vatera de Bein was his, anyone who knows Yeshivat Har Tzion was intended. That was Rav Vital's like famous song. He would sing and repeat it all the time in all the tishes, especially on Simchas Torah. But that request, that's prayer. That's the prayer of Shabbat. Now, don't we say that on Shabbat as well? We say it on Yom Tov. But that's the main prayer that we do, that we say on Shabbat and holidays that we don't say on a weekday. On the weekday, we ask for our needs. On Shabbat, we ask God, we want to be good servants of God. We want to do a good job. Help us do it with truth and with purity. Okay? Because you're a God of truth. Therefore, we want to serve you, Bemet, because you're a God of truth. And your words are true, right? And you're there forever. And therefore, we bless God, who's the king of the whole land, who separated Israel to serve him, and made this day special, be it Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaKippurim, whatever the holiday is going to be. Or Mekadesh Yisrael Bazmanim, we say in Yom Tov. Now, this is the Rosh Hashanah prayer. I just wanted to highlight V'tara Libeinu Lavdecha Be'emet as the main prayer, of the main holiday prayer. Now, the introduction to all the holidays, I'm sure you know this by heart, is the main theme of the holidays, isn't it? I mean, it's the main theme of Judaism. What are we recognizing? If we're taking a day off to remember our relationship with God and why we're chosen, not only that we're chosen, but why we're chosen. So the first thing we open up tefillah with in Shemone Esrei after our three brachot of Shebach is we recognize you chose us. Out of love you chose us. Right? You wanted us to serve you. You elevate us from all the different nations to serve you. We serve you by keeping your mitzvot. You separated us by giving us mitzvot to keep, to serve you. And now we get to the key point. The reason why you chose us was so that we can serve you. That's the introduction to our request later on. We want to do it. Purify so we can serve you with truth. But we're recognizing before we say that in the beginning, in the introduction, the reason you chose us and you brought us closer to you and the special reason we have this special relationship is to serve you, like the Gan Eden imagery. And now the big theme, v'shimcha gadol v'kadosh aleinu karata. Your name and reputation, your great name, right, is associated with us. And therefore, aleinu l'shabech l'adon hakol, we'll see, that's the share already on Rosh Hashanah davening. It's our duty to praise God, but we're hoping that God's kingdom will be over everyone. That'll be the aleinu. Okay, so that's my little introduction to davening in general. But what's the theme of Yom Tov and Shabbos davening as opposed to weekday davening? That's basic stuff. Now, all the holidays we saw in Perachav Gimon Vayikra, remember Elam Oed Hashem Mikrei Kodesh? Does anyone remember what Mikra Kodesh means? Mikra is to call out. We're separating a special time to call out to gather. It's a national gathering. That's why work is not permitted. Banks are closed. We call it a bank holiday. The businesses are closed. The marketplace is closed so that we can gather. And we gather to talk about the theme of each holiday. And therefore, what's a Mikra Kodesh? We call out to the community to gather. We gather in shul and we talk about the theme of the holiday. But it's a time set aside to talk about the holiday. And that's what we're doing in the beginning of Shemone Esrei. Okay. Now, before we pray and ask for our needs, we praise. So the first part of Shemoneh Esrei, remember, is praising God, Magen Abraham, Mechayim Metim, etc. And Allah Kadosh, that's praise of God. But prayer, classic prayer, is asking for our needs. But if you're a servant of God and you want to be a good employee, you enjoy your job, you identify with your job, then one of your prayers is not just help me with my needs. Remember, that's the consumer. The idea that you're an employee in front of God, you're praying to be a good employee. I want to do a good job. Help me be a good employee. Give me some guidance. You know, make sure I do my job well. So again, if I use that consumer employee analogy, you know, how do we stand in front of God? Our prayer on Yom Tov is to be, you know, it's maybe during the weekday, we're standing in front of God as consumers. Give us, you know, give us parnasa, give us prosperity, give us health, give us wealth, etc. And give us peace. But on Yom Tov, we're asking to be good workers. We're standing as a consumer. We're standing in front of God as an employee who wants to be a good employee, who identifies with the job and loves the job, wants to do a better job, wants to climb the ladder in employment. Now, the standard structure of tefillah on the holidays, remember, we have the same three brachot of Shemoneh Esrei, the introduction, okay? Then we have Atah V'chartanu, and then we have Yalav Yovo. I'm talking about not Musaf, I'm talking about Shachris, Marv Shachris and Mincha. We have Atah V'chartanu always in the beginning, then we have Yalav Yovo. If we have time, we'll go to it. That we'll have time today. And then we have Elokeinu V'lokei Avoteinu, the request. With each holiday is a little bit special. So there'll be a special bracha for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, and for the Shalosh V'galim. Remember, Vasienu is the one for Shalosh V'galim. Now, Musaf is different. I'll stop here for a minute. There was the standard tefillah of Marv, Shachris, and Mincha is recognizing why we're chosen and asking God that we're good servants of God, of the Tara Livenu, and then Yalla V'yavo, asking God to consider, you know, in judging us on this time of year, to take into consideration all of our history, and if we have time, we'll talk about Yalla V'yavo later on. But how is Musaf different than the regular tefillah of Yom Tov? Notice, who can tell me what makes Musaf unique to the regular Shachris Mincha Marv? Shachris Mincha and Marv. How is Musaf different?
It talks about the korbanos.
It talks about the extra korban in addition to me based on Parsha Pinchas. Correct? Therefore, what do we do on Musaf? We make a piyut. We have a little poem in the beginning. Tikanta Shabbat. It's backwards Aleph in case you never paid attention to it. Abimdecha Ta'enu. We stay on Yom Tovim. We start like Jewish. Right? We don't deserve anything. No, it's our fault. We're not in our land. And we wish we could bring this korban up. We can't, but it's our fault. And then we wish, remember? We pray that God brings us back to our land and allows us to rebuild the temple so we can bring your korban out. And should that happen, remember? And then, remember all the things we pray for that somehow God fulfilled the last couple century or so, because we're back in our land. We came back from corners, we're back in our land, etc. But we have another stage or two to go. But then we say, should we be able to build our temple, we would bring this korban, and we quote the korban from Parshat Pinchas, the special korban they brought on Musaf. And that's the standard Musaf. And we always quote from where? From Parshat Pinchas. Correct? Remember? One par, two parim, always one aisle, seven kvasim. And it's there lachatat, and then sukkah is a little special. Now, what makes Yom Kippur different when it comes to Musaf?
The avodah.
Yeah. In other words, there's an extra avodah on the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, which is the seder avodah of the Kohen Gadol. It's not in Parshat Pinchas. And Pinchas doesn't describe it. Where is it described? It's described in Achrimot, which will be our topic today. And therefore, when we daven Musaf on Yom Kippur, we don't do the classic Musaf of simply quoting the psukim from Parshat Pinchas, the classic Korban. We're going to do that. In addition to that, we're also going to do the Yom Kippur Avodah from Vayikra Chaf Gimel. Why aren't they together? We have to see. But basically, Musaf and Yom Kippur is special because Yom Kippur is a different day because it doesn't have the standard Musaf. In addition, there's a Musaf to the Musaf. In addition to the regular Musaf, there's a special Seder Avodah. And therefore, that's why Yom Kippur Musaf is so long. Now, in one of our shiurim, on Motzei Shabbat, in the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about the Musaf on the last one, the one on our shiur Erev Yom Kippur. Sorry, Erev Yom Kippur. Our shiur will be on the piyut, but this is the background to that shiur. Today we're going to study what the Avodah is in Sefer Vayikra and why it's in Vayikra and not with the other Musafim. Okay, so that's the background, and let me just check the chat and we'll get to work. Okay, that's just for source sheets. Okay, no questions on the top, on the content so far. So that's good. Okay, let's share my screen now and pick up where we left off. Yeah. So we talked about why Musaf is different and Kippur is different. Okay, now comes my favorite question. Now we start the share. Everyone knows that Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kodeshim in Yom Kippur, right? And we sprinkle the blood here, there, up, down, you know, up one, seven, down, the whole thing. Everyone knows there's a special blood in Kippur. It's complicated, but everyone knows about it. Now, here's what's called a Chakira, okay? The Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. What is its purpose? Does the Kohen Gadol enter the Holy of Holies to bring the Korban? Understand? Or does he bring the Korban in order to enter? I'm going to repeat it to make sure it's crystal clear. Because it's the key to understanding, in my opinion, not just the Avodah, but also Yom Kippur. Is the goal of the day to bring a Korban, meaning for some reason, we don't understand why, ask a Kabbalist why, God needs the blood of a goat sprinkled in the Holy of Holies to forgive us. And someone's got to do it, and the best person to do it is the Kohen Gadol. Or is the main thing that's happening is on this day, the Kohen Gadol is entering the Kodesh Kodeshim. That's the goal of the day. Because we're showing God we want to return to Mount Sinai. The Kohen Gadol is representing the Jewish people. I'll clarify this, because obviously that's the direction I'm going in. That on this day, Am Yisrael is showing God, we want to work for you. Right? We want to return to our encounter in Har Sinai. We want to accept the covenantal commitment to be your people. We want to work for you. We want to serve you. And to show you that, we're entering the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is the same way we're climbing Mount Sinai again, to receive the Torah. And in theory, I should be doing this once a year when? On Shavuos. But that didn't work, did it? That fell apart. What enabled the encounter? God's with Yom Kippur. Got it? Therefore, the safest day to do it, not the only day to do it, okay? The correct day to do it would be Shavuos. The safest day to do it is going to be Yom Kippur. That's my key point, okay? Now, what I want to show you is that in order to enter, you can't come barging in. You need a ritual of entry. In other words, entering the Kodesh Kodeshim is dangerous. Give me an example of how dangerous it is, right? When you get close to God.
Nadav and Avihu.
Just read chapter 17 and chapter 19 in Shemot. We'll go back to it. Remember? The whole preparation for our Sinai. You know, cordon the mountain, no one come close. We'll talk about all the warnings that God gives them. Entering the Kodesh is dangerous because it's God's domain. And who are you to enter? I hate to use this analogy, but it's the best one because probably most of you saw The Wizard of Oz. Lahavdil, right? That was, remember when Dorothy wants to go? No, remember? Whoever the guard is there, no one can see the wizard. No one. Remember? The lion jumps out the window. So again, Lahavdil, Elif Havdalot. But the idea that no one can enter, but we have to enter. Because we have to get our, whatever it is, we have to get our shoot, whatever it is. I forgot why Dorothy has to go, but she's got to go and, she's got to see the wizard. Now, the Havdil, again, Elif Havdalot. So my point is, we have to enter because that's how we show God, but we just can't enter. We need a protected entry. We need a buffered entry and we need protection. What's the word for that protection from the Shekhinah? That's the word kapara. That was last week's share. And that's I'm tying this week's share to last week's share. We need kapara in order to enter. In other words, no human can enter that domain without protection. Just like if a building's on fire. In fact, Har Sinai is there's an analogy comparing Har Sinai to fire that we had that over and over again in Sefer Shemot and Sefer Dvarim. Remember Har Sinai, Ashan Kulo, B'vnei Asher Yarshan Be'esh, and the people saying Sefer Dvarim, Moshe, what mortal can survive this ash? You go up, but we can't survive it because no one can stay there and stay alive. And just like a fireman can't go into a building that's on fire because he'll be consumed by the fire, but he has to go in to save the people. So he puts on a fire suit. He has to put on a protective suit to enable him to enter the fire. In a similar way, the Kohen needs to do something to show that he's entering the area of Shekhinah and we need protection. And the most important thing, we have to show God we're privy to a relationship we're not worthy of, because we're an Amkshe Oref. And I'll just get to the end of this year, is that Mikar Din, like, from a realistic standpoint, it's impossible to enter without being consumed, because we're mortals. We can't. And we're not worthy because we're a Sifteket people. We're not perfect. And we don't deserve to enter to be so close to God. But we have to enter because we want to do our job. And therefore, what makes us worthy, you know, even though we're not worthy of entering, what makes us worthy of entry is our recognition that we're not worthy. Hope you guys understand the paradox. And that's how I understand philosophically the meaning of the Seder Avodah. It means we're showing God we're not worthy. What makes us worthy is our recognition that we're not worthy, but we want the job anyhow. And the reason why God can't fire us is because we're so dedicated to our job, even though we mess up all the time. I give another bad analogy, like the cleaning lady you can't fire. She's been working for the family so long, she never, the house is never clean anyhow, but you can't fire her because she's part of our family. Now, so now we have to explain what's this need for protection when encountering Shekhinah. Hope that's clear. And now I want to begin just a couple examples from Shmot chapter 19, and then from Yom HaShmini, and then we'll do the Avodah. So I'm going to stop the screen and just go back to regular old Chumash. Open up a regular Chumash. You're familiar with this Psukim? I simply want to show you, in Sefer Shmot, we'll go back to chapter 19. It's called The Encounter with God at Har Sinai. We read this morning. We're all familiar. But remember, Brit at Sinai. We arrive at Har Sinai. Moshe goes up and God says, here's the proposition. Remember? That's the proposition. Are you willing to obey me? My covenantal partner. You'll be my treasure nation. You'll be a nation representing me. And that's the proposition to tell the people. The people, Moshe tells the people ratify it. And now we're ready for the encounter. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to come to you in the thickness of a cloud. In other words, Moshe needs a cloud that Anan will be like the Anan Ketoret later on. But the people are going to be outside, so the people can hear from the outside. And then they'll trust what you say in God's name. And the people want a closer encounter. Remember? And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to the people. Be prepared for this encounter with God. Clean your clothes. Go to the mikvah. We learn mikvah from here. Be ready for day three. Be ready for this encounter with God. Because on the third day, what's going to happen? God's going to come down to the point that people could see them. And therefore, I need to cordon off, set boundaries on the mountain. No one can touch. Okay? And if everyone goes too close, they'll be shot or stoned, okay? Moshe goes down, gets them ready, and gives them the warning. Comes day three, Kolot Barakrim, everyone knows the story. The people get scared. Moshe brings them back to the mountain. Har Sinai is smoking with fire, okay? And everything's shaking. The shofar blowing is loud and strong, as Moshe would speak out one answer. And here's the psukim we need now. God comes down to Mount Sinai. This is in own preparation for Har Sinai. He calls Moshe. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Raid ha'ed ba'am. Go warn the people. Pen yersu el Hashem nirot v'nafam ben arav. You can't get too close. It's a final warning before the theophany, before encountering God. You can't look. Look into us. And even the Kohanim, the 70 elders in Nadav and Abihu, who are allowed to go ha'nigashim el Hashem in kosher, they have to be careful, lest God break his anger out on them. And that's what happens in the interview later on. That's Bikravaya Kadesh later on. Okay. Moshe argues for the people. Don't worry. They're warned. And God tells Moshe, go down. The encounter with God is dangerous. Got it? Warn the people. Be prepared. All I'm showing you is that this encounter with God needs protection, is dangerous, because maybe philosophically speaking, man can't get that close to God. But man wants to be that close to God. You're striving to be close, but you can't be that close. You're in this dialectic all the time. And therefore, we present ourselves in front of God, but we need protection. Yeah. Now I want to show you that in the Avodah. Where do we see that? So remember, the first one, No, we sing with Cheta Egel. Everyone knows the story with Cheta Egel. Let's go back to, share screen and back to our source sheet. We want to see what happens on Yom HaShmini on the first day. We'll go back to that in a minute. This review we did from last week, the Mizbach Torah needs Kapara once a year. This is a review from last week. We'll talk about this once a year need to cleanse the temple or protect it for a new year of work. But remember, it said once a year with no specific date, and we have to see why the date becomes Yom Kippur. Now, in chapter 9, what happens? Remember, there's 7 days of preparation. What happens on chapter 9? We talked about this briefly last week. I simply want to show you. I'll explain my main point, and then we'll see it inside. On the 8th day is the first day the Mishkan is functional. Now, remember, let me go to the end of the source sheet. I put it as an appendix. The famous Ramban, which is the background of the whole shir. Ramban claims in his commentary in the beginning of Parshat Truma, what's the purpose of the Mishkan? Hine ikar chavetz b'mishkan, hu mekom luchat hashchina shu aron. That was the main part of the Mishkan is the aron, which represents the Shekhinah dwelling among us. Okay, and then he brings Tzukim, but I'm going to meet you there and speak to you from on top of the Kaporet. Okay, but the main thing is, what's the deeper meaning of the Mishkan? Shia kavod asher shachan al Har Sinai shochein elav benistar. At Har Sinai, everyone encountered God. We saw Him. Remember, there was fire. It was shaking. It was what's called nigla. If you understand the most basic concept of Kabbalah. That was God's Shekhinah was nigla. What's nigla mean? B'chol am roim et kol v'tlapidim. You couldn't miss God. Impossible. You stood there. You encountered God. It was scary. And made everyone scared, but it was an encounter of people with God, and you heard it, everything. So you couldn't miss it. How to transform that into an eternal reminder of that experience? That's the Mishkan. And therefore, the same presence of God is there, but it's benistar. It means you don't see it staring at you. You can perceive God, but you don't see God. That's the star of the Mishkan. But all the rituals come so that when you come to the Mishkan, you psychologically you put yourself in a frame of mind where it's though you're standing at Har Sinai. It's like the three steps before Shmon Esrei. And starting Shmon Esrei, you're putting yourself in a frame of mind through a ritual that you're standing in front of God. Shiviti Hashem Nenegdi Tamid. So therefore, standing in front of God in Shmon Esrei is like standing in front of God in the Mishkan. It's like standing in front of God. The Shul and the Mishkan always go hand in hand. So with that background of once the Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai. Remember, we never leave Har Sinai, we take it with us. It's the famous Ramban. And he just proves it beautifully. I think we did that show way back. But with all the textual parallels, there's no doubt the Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai. Now, let's go back now and see what happens on the 9th day, on the 8th day. Vayibi Yom HaShmini, on this day, the Mishkan now is functional. We built it. But remember, When Moshe davened and God declared His attributes of mercy, actually, let me go back to that pasuk real fast. This is probably the most important. Let me go back to Sefer Shemot. In the end of chapter 24, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, this is the Rambam builds everything on. God tells Moshe, come up the mountain and I'll give you Luchot Eden and the Torah. And Moshe goes up for 40 days. When Moshe goes up for the 40 days, he goes, the Anan covers the mountain. Remember this Anan? Kvod Hashem is on Har Sinai. This is chapter 24 in Shemot. He covers it for 6 days, and he calls Moshe on the 7th day, which is the day of Matan Torah. Remember? Umarek Kvod Hashem ke'esh ochel broshah de'nei b'nei Yisrael, ve'evel Moshe b'toch Anan, ve'evel ha'vei Moshe b'yom bar b'layla. That's the first luchot. But the people encounter God, and they see Moshe going into a cloud where God is. Very similar to Yom Kippur. Because I need to make the cloud, that's the Anan Ktoret, it's going to represent the cloud. Now, this one didn't work, remember? And we sing with Cheta Egel, and the Shekhinah leaves. And the famous line, I'll just bring one little point. When God's angry with Moshe, he tells him, Moshe takes his tent and puts it outside the camp, far away from the camp. And now it's a temporary Ohamoid, a temporary tent of meeting where only God meets Moshe, but it's not Dima Ohamoid. Anyone looking for God had to leave the camp to go Ohamoid, which is Michutz HaMachaneh. Okay? And then Moshe davens and tells God this isn't going to work. Remember? That was, what he called? He begs that remember Ureki Amchagoy Azeh, and God argues with him, and finally God gives in and says, okay, I'll bring my Shekhinah back, and I'll give you Midat Rachamim. That's a share on the God's attributes of mercy. We'll talk about it more in detail next week. Now, in the next chapter, God gives Moshe the second luchot, and here's everything we have on Yom Kippur. God tells Moshe, get two more luchot ready. Get ready in the morning. You go up Baboker on Har Sinai. Bishlo Yalimach, that's when God is going by himself into the Kodesh Kodeshim. And no one can be with you on the mountain, even animals. That's the lone entry of Moshe to Har Sinai, the Kohen Gadol going to the Kodesh Kodeshim. Moshe goes up, God gives him the second luchot, but with the luchot, God declares his attributes of mercy. I'm no longer an El Kana, I can be an El Rachum V'Chanun. I'm not Charonav, I have Erech Apan, I'm slow to anger. Instead of Chesed Lo Avai, God's Rav Chesed, the abundant Chesed, or sometimes Lo Bech Chesed, but it's not only Lo Avai, it's for everybody. Instead of Lo Yisal Pi Shechem, God's Nosev on the Tesha. Instead of Lo Yenakeh, V'Nakeh, Lo Yenakeh, we're flipping down. And God declares that he can forgive. Not he will forgive, but he can forgive. Moshe is very excited, and he bows down. What's he pray for? Listen carefully. God tells Moshe, if I find favor in your eyes, Yelech na Hashem b'kirbenu, dwell with us, even though we're not Kshe Oref, and forgive us for our sins. Because now that you can forgive, now will you dwell with us and travel with us to the land of Israel? Okay? And God says a qualified yes, not so fast. And Chazal put right here the commandment to build the Mishkan. Va'asru l'mitash v'shechanti b'tocham. You want my Shekhinah to return? Not so fast. The Shekhinah left after Chetah Egel. It's outside the camp. He's only with Moshe. Moshe now prays to God. Yelech na Hashem b'kirbenu. Even though we're in Amchshe Oref. And forgive us. God says, I can forgive you, but prove to me first you're worthy of my forgiveness. And we have, for 6 months, we build a Mishkan to prove we're worthy. That's why after Yom Kippur, we start working on the Sukkah. Now, when does the Shekhinah finally return? The Shekhinah doesn't return to the very end of Sefer Shemot. Remember? On the first day of Chodesh Nisan, remember? At the very end of Sefer Shemot, that's the Rambam builds this whole parallel there. By Chasanan at Olmoid, after it's all built, Chod HaShavai to Mishkan, Moshe couldn't go in until God calls him in. And that's all the parallels to, between that the Rambam builds this whole Shitan. Now, in Sefer Vayikra, we go back to that, the 7 days of, we build the Mishkan, and we go back to the 7 days of preparation, of inauguration. On the eighth day, the Mishkan's functional, and now we're hoping the Shekhinah, instead of being outside the camp, and the Olmid outside the camp, it'll be an Olmid inside the camp. So we need to do something that day, and this is key to understanding Yom Kippur. That's why I went back to that parallel. Let's go take a look now at Vayikra chapter 9, on Yom HaShmini. Well, it's Parshat Shmini. Moshe tells, God tells Moshe and Aaron and the elders, Moshe calls all the elders and tells Aaron that he has to take a special korban. He has to take a chatat and an olah, an egel chatat, an ayol olah to bring, and Bnei Yisrael to bring a korban, a sir lechatat, and an egel v'keves l'olah. But what's important is this is the only precedent to Yom Kippur where the people bring a korban, chatat olah, and Aaron brings a korban chatat olah. That duo korban, that's going to be Peter and Yom Kippur. But because this isn't Yom Kippur yet, this is Yom HaShmini, it's an inaugural day, and it's like Har Sinai, the first luchot, we want to fix them. We have a shlamim. Remember Har Sinai had a lot in shlamim? We won't have this in Yom Kippur, but we have this. That's the shamet tzibur we have on Shavuot. Reminds us of this, if you remember what's special about Shavuot, that alludes to that. But on this Yom HaShmini, because we're reliving Har Sinai, we need a shlamim. We have a lot in shlamim, but we had a chatat because of chet ha'egel on the meantime. Now, but that's the korban. They bring what God commanded them. And what's the purpose? Ki hayom Hashem nirah lechem. God's glory is coming back today. Now, the korban doesn't bring the Shekhinah. Because the Shekhinah is coming, I need to bring a korban. I'll give you a better analogy. I used to use it when the queen was still alive. If the queen's coming to her house for dinner, right? If she's coming to her house, you make a special meal. Now, if you make a special meal, that won't bring the queen. But if the queen's coming, of course you'll make a special meal. Got it? And because if she finds out there is a special meal, she won't come. It's not that the meal brings the queen. It said, because the queen's coming, I need to make the meal. And therefore, because God's coming on this day, therefore, we need a special korbanot. That's the point I'm trying to get across. Okay? So they bring, and therefore, Moshe tells the people, here's what God commanded. Because God's coming, God's glory is coming today, be prepared. Okay? And they tell Aaron does his korban, dot, dot, dot. Okay? And finally, the korban, it's over. Now watch what happens. They do everything kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Now, Vayisa Aaron et yada ve'alam v'yivarchem, Birkat Kohanim at the end of the Avodah. We do the same thing, don't we? We finish Shmoneh Esrei and we do Birkat Kohanim and Sim Shalom, which is a blessing for Birkat Kohanim. And he finishes all the korbanot. Now that we brought all the korbanot, we're waiting for what? We have to relive Har Sinai. This one of the most confusing psukim in Chumash, isn't it? We just brought all the korbanot. The Shekhinah should come now, right? Remember? Now, all the parshanim are bothered by this. What are they going in for? To leave? My whole point is, this is the highlight of the day. Right? They could go, they were able to go in. This is the Knesset HaKohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Got my point? It's not, I know, the way Rashi understands it is that because the Shekhinah didn't come yet, what happened? They went into Davin for the Shekhinah, right? And then, you'll remember, maybe I sin, babam, and they prayed, Yiratzon Shishay Shekhinah Masay Dechem, God answered the prayer, and Kvod Hashem came. But my point is that because the Shekhinah is there, now Moshe and Aaron can enter the Kodesh Kodeshim because we had this preparation. This enabled them to enter. Was the goal of this day, this was the purpose of the day, for Moshe and Aaron to enter the Lamoid. What enabled them to enter? The Korban of the Am and Aaron, the Kapara. Okay? And therefore, we're told they were able to come and they came out alive, got it? And they blessed the people. And now we did the Kvod Hashem was in the Mishkan, now the Kvod Hashem is on all the people. It was by Moshe Aaron going up to Har Sinai, now Kvod Hashem is on everyone. So Esh comes and eats the Korban, I mean, the sign that God accepted the Korban, right? And then Aaron and Nadav and Abihu did something wrong. What they did wrong, that's a different topic. But they did something wrong and they got burnt, everyone knows. Now, but that means that this day of encountering the Shekhinah is really dangerous. You follow? Because if you're not perfect on that day, God's a forgiving God, but on the one day that you really want to get that close, when you're Midat Arachamim allows you to come back and encounter, but the actual encounter, you got to be on your toes. There's no room for mistakes. And therefore, listen carefully. If I need to do a yearly encounter, right, it's going to be dangerous. Now, God says once a year, I need a Yom HaShmini. Got it? Once a year, I need to remember our encounter with God. I need to remember Har Sinai. I could do it on Shavuos. What's the problem? That didn't work. I could do it Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We had a problem. That also didn't work. We had a problem, right? But I need to do it once a year. What's the best day to do it? Yom Kippur. And that's going to explain how. Now, after Nadav and Avihu died, which is the beginning of Parshat Achrimot, isn't it? God tells Moshe after Moshe and then died, you know what? Clearly, you can't go whenever you want into the Kodesh Kodeshim. God reminds Moshe, you can't come whenever you want to the Kodesh Kodeshim, okay? Because you'll die, right? But if you go in, you need to bring, you have to have an anan in Kaporet. But if you do go in, if you are going to enter, in order to enter, you have to bring the same Korbanot we did on Yom HaShmini. Now, when the whole thing is over, we talked about this last week briefly. This is how to enter once a year. Now, we need to enter once a year. It's not clear what day yet, but we enter once a year. So God says after Aaron, Nadab and Avihu died, after Nadab and Avihu died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when they came in on the first time and God's Shekhinah came down, when it's all over and God says, guests can't come in, you can't barge in, you have to do this whole ritual to be able to come in, the encounter. Then he says at the very end, when it's way over, I'm just going to be all the way to the end, Vaitazot lachem, luchokatulam, when you do this, in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, fast that day. Remember, don't eat, don't drink, etc. Okay? Why did the Avodah, but why did I pick this day over any other day? Because it's Yom Kippur. because it's the anniversary of God giving us the Midot HaRachamim. Now, my claim is, Ki B'yom HaZeh Yechaper Aleichem, is explaining why I'm doing it on the 10th of Tishrei, and not why I'm doing the Avodah. Now, this is the safest day to do it. And when did God tell this, when did God decide what day to do the Avodah? After another review done. So I'm saying we need to do this once a year, and but the decision to do it specifically on the anniversary of God announcing his Midot HaRachamim, that was after another review done. That's my key point I wanted to get across. Now I have a couple of minutes to go through the Seder Avodah, which we'll do more in detail when we do the Piyut. Okay. So what do you need to do? My point, and again, the goal is to enter. In order to enter, I need kapara. Kiba anan or la kapara, just like we need an anan in Har Sinai, we need an anan to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. You need special clothing. And we need a korban of kapara for Aaron and for the people. So Aaron has to bring a par lachatat and ayolola, as we did on thing. He has to bring special clothing. Now, is it white clothing, which is not fancy? The main thing is not gold, but white? Or the special? You can argue. If you remember, there's Truma Tadeshin also with Big Day Lavan, but that's a topic Yoni Grossman talks about it in his book. Not for now. And B'nai Yisrael have to bring, Aaron brings his korban, Vazot Yavol Aaron al Kodesh. And now from B'nai Yisrael, we bring what? Two series in Melchatat, number one inside, one outside. And then Aaron, he doesn't offer it yet. That's the confusing here. He does smicha, which is the way Chazal understand beautifully because he didn't check it yet. Aaron does smicha on his par and does vidui. That's when he does an Hashem chatati aviti. We'll do that in the Avodah. In other words, here Aaron does vidui. He does, what's vidui in English? Confession on his par for himself and his shevet. And then he takes the two serim, picks one, which one goes indoors and outdoors. Okay. And then he does goralot. And then, he gets one ready, you know, for the chatat, one to send for Lazazel. Okay. Basically get everything ready. Then Aaron shechs his, but he brings his par again to do vidui for the entire shevet, his par, after his family. And then v'chiper bado bad beto. That's why v'chiper has to mean confession. That's how Chazal learned. And then he shechs it. Decree doesn't mean he shechted it. He can't, because here he shechs it, unless he came back to life. So therefore, Chazal understand means this v'kriv, and the earth, first v'kriv is what we call v'duing. This is all part of davening. That's an Hashem chatati aviti pashati, etc. The first one is ani u'beti, and this is ani, me, and my whole shevet of the kohanim. And then he shechs his chatat, and then he has to bring the blood in. But before he can go inside to bring the blood, he has to make the smoke screen, and therefore he takes the coals from the mizbeach. He brings it inside the Ketoret. He makes the smoke screen. Knows I can't enter the Kodesh Kodeshim without an Anan Ketoret, like Har Sinai. And he makes the Anan Ketoret. Okay. And then he takes from the Dam of the Par and sprinkles it one up and seven down. That's, remember Achat, that's when it counts. Achas, Achos, Shishtaim. Okay. So what's up? And in front of the Kabbalah seven times with his finger. And then he checks the Sir of the people, the Sir Chatat that goes inside. And he brings his dam also inside, it's inside the parochet. He does the same thing to the dam of the seir, like he did dam apar, one up and seven down. Got it? That's the main avodah. And that's how he enters. Okay. Now we get, I call the highlight of it. We're summarizing. What did he do? The chiper ala kodesh. He called atone, prepares, gets ready, whatever word you want to use. But the Kodesh, which means now the Kodesh Kodeshim, he's cleansing it or preparing it. Right? From what? From entry of people not worthy. Right? Because we're not perfect in it. Because we sin. We've sinned in the past. We'll sin again. We're an Anksha Orif. We're not perfect. But we want to enter anyhow. So therefore, we need kapara. We need protection from punishment that's due to us. Okay? And therefore, we do the same thing for the Ol Moed. In the outer courtyard, at the outer, where the Shulchan Menorah is. Why? Hashochen itam betoch tumatam. I think that's the giveaway. Hashochen itam betoch tumatam. God dwells with us even though we're tameh. What enables God to dwell with us even though we're tameh? Are showing God we want to learn from our mistakes. Are showing God that what enables it, God's midot of rachamim, which he announced on Yom Kippur. with the second luchot, when Moshe goes up to get him. And the two things, God's ability that he can forgive, and our willingness to learn from our mistakes and our recognition we're not worthy of the encounter, that enables the encounter. And that's how we understand as the meaning of the ritual behind Yom Kippur, which is, I think, super important in our relationship with God as individuals and as a people. Okay. Then we have all the parallels to Moshe and her saying, no one can be the Olam Moed with him. I said, don't. It's for him, his family, and for the whole people of Israel, because we're all, he's representing us, but he's on behalf of the people. It's called a Shlech Tzibor. That's Hini Nimani Memas, if you know the prayer before Musaf and Yom Kippur, as a Shlech Tzibor. Then he goes and does I call this a little bit of housekeeping. Actually, housekeeping, this should have been, what do you call it? The housekeeping should have been before Pasuk Yivchet. I messed up there a little bit. Now, he does, I call this housekeeping. He has to do the Adam on the Mizbeach, what do you call it? Hachitzon, on the Mizbeach Toret, that we talked about in Parshat Tetzaveh. So on the Mizbeach Toret, he puts seven times, B'chitzon B'tumat B'nei Yisrael also. And he finishes cleaning up the Kodesh. That's what we call Kodesh Kodeshim. The Obey, what we call the Kodesh. And the Mizbeach, which is the Mizbeach Toret. And then he brings the Sirachai. And now on the special day, we get Kapara even for, not for Zdonot. Okay. And he does Vidui Vitvadalav, I'll call the Nobel Sal Pishem Mechol Chatotam. That's unique. The Yom Kippur topic in itself. And we send that outside because it's for Zadon. It doesn't belong in the temple. The temple is for learning from mistakes you do unintentionally. For things you do intentionally, God will forgive you, but it doesn't belong in the temple. And therefore, symbolically, I send it away. Because I need to clarify, the temple is not for, I'll do a sin and say I'm sorry and repeat it again. So the idea of sinning on purpose, Maisie, and being forgiven, that's God will do it once a year, symbolically, to know there's always room to do tshuva. But we can't make it a habit. So we'll do it, but send it out from the temple. Send it away, not in our mikdash. So then he sends it that's the Sir Lazazel. He sends it to the desert. And then the most, again, just like we had the difficult pasuk before, the avodah is over. What happens now? Pasuk go. Uba Aron Olam Moed. Upashad Bigdei Abad Asher Lavash. What's it? He goes to the Olam Moed to change his clothes? Doesn't make any sense, right? What does Chazal say? From here we learn he goes in to take out the spoon and the shovel, because he left it in there because it was too hot to take out the first time. Remember that from here we learned that Kohen Gadol goes five times. I mean, he enters, he changes clothes five times. He enters twice to the Kodesh Kodeshim. The first time the Avodah, the second had to take out the spoon and the shovel. They learn it from here. But I want to claim, just like we had on Yom HaShmini, now they have, after they brought the Korban, remember, let me go back and show you that real fast. If I go back to Yom HaShmini, what happened? That was the strange part. Right? They finished all the Korbanot, remember? The Chatat Olah to everybody. Right? And they bring all the things, Kashir Tziba Moshe, all the Korbanot are done. Aaron does Berkat Konim, and he finished the Chatat and Olah and the Shlamim. And when all the Korbanot are over, now, also by us. All the Korbanot to finish now. We finished all the Korbanot. Sir Lassem, Sir Lazazel, all the Korbanot. And now what happens? Where are we? Uba Aron Olam Moed. Blank. Now there's a Vayitzu. What did they do? So Chazal, they davened. That's what the Kohen Gadol does. He davens. Remember, he davens here. That's the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. He davens. When he does tefillah, it's a machloket, but I think it's when he davened. Because this is the main time. This is, in my opinion, the main entry. And then there's an intentional, you fill in the blank. And then later on, obviously he doesn't take off his clothes there. You know, by saying here he took off his clothes is telling you something's missing. It can't mean he goes some way to change his clothes. That's impossible. Agreed? Which means something's missing. What's missing is a highlight. Remember when we did the obfuscation in Har Sinai? Remember the main event, there's how close do you get to God if what's missing? It's the same idea. The highlight of the day, you fill in the blank. Right here is 23 and a half, right? 23 and a quarter, whatever it is. Right here is the highlight. Moshe Aaron goes into the Moed, representing the Jewish people. He enters now. It's safe to enter because we did all the thing. That's the highlight of the day. And then to highlight that this is a highlight, that there's a blank here, right? We end it with what obviously happens later. And then he takes off his clothes. That now the housekeeping. He changes his clothes and then he washes his clothes again. Now, I'm just saying the continuation here is telling you something's missing because it can't be pshat. But why is Chumash doing that? I think it's obfuscating the most important. It's the same thing he did in Har Sinai. It obfuscates, right, the most important point because you have to look for it. And therefore, that's the highlight of the day where Aaron goes into the Olam Moed, which represents Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai and enabling this encounter with God. But in order to do that encounter, we had to show God a Shocheni Tam B'toch Tumatam. We had to do the rituals of the Korbanot. Okay. Then he does, I call this housekeeping. He has to wash his clothes, remember? And then he does the regular Korbanot outside. Okay. And he brings the Chela V'chatat. Remember, that's regular Avodah. And then the person saying the Sirla Zazel has to wash his clothes. And the person who burnt the Parchatat. You know, someone from that housekeeping. It's like what we have with the thing. Now, that's how you enter. Once a year. Then say when though, right? Now, because Achrei Moshe B'nei Aaron on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, now God tells Moshe, or Chumash tells the reader, by Tazot Lechem Luchat Olam, when V'chashvi V'esor L'chodesh, Tanu Adam Shoteichem, V'chom Adat Tassu, Ezrach L'ger B'tochichem, why? Ki V'yom Azeich Abedam Teretchem, Yikol Chatem V'fnei Hashem Titaru. Because this day is special. Shabbat Shabbatuli Lechem V'initem Adam Shoteichem, Luchat Olam. This connects it with Yom Kippur, with what we call Yom Kippur from the Moedim. Now, would there be Yom Kippur anyhow without the Avodah? I hope you're following now. It could be there would be Yom Kippur and Chodesh Tishrei without the Seder Avodah. And maybe the Seder Avodah might be another day, once a year. Now I'm telling you, what's the best day to do? I'm saying, this isn't the reason for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur stands alone because it's marking the anniversary of the second Luchot. And God's announcing his Midot Abrahamim. And even if the Kohen Gadol didn't do the Avodah on that day, it would still be Yom Kippur. But now God's saying the best day to do if once a year, you understand there's two different topics going on. Once a year, I need to rededicate the temple. I need another Yom HaShmini. I need to reinaugurate the temple once a year. And when I rededicate the temple, I need to enter and I need to do a special ritual like we did on Yom HaShmini. What's the best day to do it? On Yom Kippur. On the 10th of Tishrei. Why? Because that day is Binitem Nafshotechem, that we're showing God that we're ready for this. You know? And that explains why the strange way, it doesn't say, do this on Yom Kippur. It says, do this once a year. Got it? But the best day to do it now is on Yom Kippur. Why? Because of what happened in the review. On what an alternate good day to do it on Rosh Chodesh. That's the real Rosh. Isn't Rosh Chodesh Nisan the real Rosh Hashanah? Remember, Yom HaShmini was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's HaChodesh Adlechem Rosh Chodeshim. That's probably a much better Rosh Hashanah. But no, this is a better, because this one worked because God, what enabled the encounter is God Bidot of Rachamim. Now, then we have, we're summarizing. If that's in the future, not only Aaron, but anyone could take over him. Okay. And now we're going to summarize the key point. This is the yearly, cleansing of the temple, the yearly preparation. Listen carefully. Why achat bashana? That's the Mizbach Torah, got it? No, this is once a year no matter what. This we do Luchat Olam, once a year we have to do that. And when do we do it? On Yom Kippur, which is also once a year. But now we're putting, once a year I need to get the temple ready, to re-cleanse the temple, like Yom HaShmini, to make it official. And the best day to do it now is on Yom Kippur, on the seventh day of, because, so that's what I wanted to get across today. Of understanding now the actual piyut that we do and how we do it and how we say it on Yom Kippur, that's going to be the shir on Erev Yom Kippur in the Siddur. But why we mention it on Yom Kippur davening, that's why Musaf and Yom Kippur is so important, because what we do in And by describing the Avodah, is basically the essence of Yom Kippur, where we're showing God we want to be his people. We recognize we're not worthy of our job, but we're worthy of our job because we show God we're not worthy. That's my point. And that's what Kapara is about. Therefore, the fact I'm showing God I need protection, which shows I'm in an lopsided relationship. And therefore, I'm showing God I really want my job. I want to do a good job, but I'll try my best to learn from my mistakes. God's willing to forgive us because we're so dedicated to doing our job. So that's something much more logical than mystical. There's logic, the logic for the day, etc. Okay? So that's our share. Yeah, my time's up anyhow. I'll take questions for a minute. Stop the share.
Nachum?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So your lacuna in verse 23, that there's something's missing. That's beautiful. That's Ramban's nistar. The revelation is not going to be like it was on Har Sinai. It's going to be nistar. And so it's
and you have to, that's called obfuscation. Yeah. Remember we did 9 3/4 when we did Har Sinai. No, but when the people said we want to hear God directly, but never worked in the end. So that's the idea behind it. That's, I know the Bible critics have different reasons for it, but I think this makes more sense because it's consistent all through the Har Sinai narratives. No questions on the chat. What happened today? Either no one understood anything or it was clear one or the other.
Right. I was going to say extra clarity, just the sources. Yeah, nothing else. Okay. Anybody comments, questions? Okay. All right. Otherwise, as I mentioned at the beginning, Rabbi Liebtag's next year will be Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Usher, you got to get up early in the morning, 5 in the morning to come. And if Rabbi Liebtag can do
it's
it.
Also it's also on YouTube.
I'll be your Huckleberry. As the movie says, I'll be your Huckleberry. I didn't understand the whole thing about the Kohen Gadol's preparation, that we have to do this to be worthy. My understanding is God commanded him to come in once a year. And if God is going to create a situation where the guy dies, he's creating a situation that's untenable and undoable. God should only, and this is, and I assume can only ask something that's actually doable. And he knows he's dealing with people which aren't perfect by definition. So it's not a matter of our trying to figure out a way to go in. We're not instigating it. God is commanding to do it, and it has to be something doable.
And so why do people play professional football?
You're asking me either, right? Because they want to have a shorter time to be able to walk properly after their careers.
I'm saying people play football because they want to. That's their sport. That's what they want to do. But they need to put on a helmet and shin guards and foot guards and train and everything. But you're going to encounter your enemy. You got to play ball. But it's super. Of course, it's dangerous. You might get really injured. But when there's what to, there's a reason to play. It might be your salary. Maybe you love sports. But people do things that are dangerous because they're important to them, but they require protection.
All right. How do you bridge the gap, or can you bridge the gap between the Torah's conception of Yom Kippur, where it's not communal, everybody is at their house, and it's basically over an hour after sunrise, because they keep him up, they do the korban, he goes in, according to the description in the Mishnah, where with us, we even have an extra ne'ilah, we keep it going. It's completely different. The people knew by 10 or 11 o'clock, they might have heard the word. The Kohen didn't get zapped this year. Everything is good. Whereas we make it a day-long thing. And like I said, theirs was over in the morning shortly after sunrise.
I think our Yom Kippur is built on a much deeper understanding of the Psukim and what we did. In other words, the rabbis understand it's not ritual. It's not mystical. And it's not, is it going to turn? What color is it going to turn? But if I take it at face value, it looks like voodoo, doesn't it? Or something super mystical?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you look at the parallels and the careful wording and everything behind it and the date, that was my whole point of this year, is when you study it carefully, there's something much deeper there because it relates to the day of God announcing his attributes of mercy. Remember, Moshe goes up and says,
"So you're not a mit katnima dorot kind of guy if you're saying we have a deeper understanding of the earlier Chazal generations."
I think Chazal had that understanding, and that's why they turned it into a day of screaming God's midot rachamim all day long and saying Hashamnu Magadnu and saying showing God we want a shechina even though we're tamei. How do we say we're tamei? We've sinned. Hashamnu Magadnu. At least our neighbors have. Maybe we haven't, but other people did. Because we're perfect, but maybe someone else didn't. But my point is exactly the opposite. Is that when you read the psukim carefully, even though at face value it looks like it's mystical and voodoo, when you look at what each thing represents, there's something deep there. This Sir Lachatad goes back to Yosef and his brothers, and Avashemi Manachnu, and things like that. Now, your question was exactly the point of the shir, is to show that there's something that our Yom Kippur fits much nicer into the deeper meaning of the psukim. The idea of encountering God, the need for once a year to remember you're not a consumer with God, but you're an employee, and you're praying, and that's why our prayers are we want to be a good employee. As Vatar the Bainu Lov Techa B'met Tara becomes cleaning your heart. Remember, I'll just quote Ibn Ezra about Shabbos, right? What's he say? Mechem melacha bo sof al achrit. You're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos, right? Al kein achabes bo dibi kiborit. So you can't do melacha on Shabbos, you can't do laundry, but you do laundry. What laundry do you do? You wash out your heart, okay? That palo el arvit v'shachrit mustafa gamin chau yanenu. Remember? That's, what song is that? Kiyashmar Shabbat, right? No, is that, which one is that? That's
if the avoda is so important, why is it only appeals? Why isn't it right there in the silent Shmona Esra? Why is it only like appeals toward the end of Musa? And why wouldn't we say just because it's a problem for the day?
I didn't hear Jake translate the question, Jake?
Yeah, basically, I think, Marty, what you're asking is why when we say vidui, do we say it right at the end of the Shmona Esrei as opposed to in the middle? Is that your question?
Why is it
the end of the Shmona Esrei.
It's the same thing we do every day. We say regular Shmona Esrei for the Tzibur, and then we do Tachnun afterwards. In other words, we do Hashamnu, we do our Vidui, we do, it's like Tachnun. He says we do it before Simchat, before Ritzeh.
But
the idea is that first we do our communal, encounter with God, and then we ask. Now remember, we're remembering God can forgive us. Not that He did forgive us; He can't forgive us. And now we have to show God we're deserving of His forgiveness by recognizing.
But I'm not talking about the vidui. I'm talking about the avoda and the part and the. And the Pesukim for the avoda. Why, if it's part of the kabonos of the day, why don't we
put? So I understand now. What I'm saying is that's exactly my point in the beginning. The Seder avoda I put with the kabonos of Pinchas. You understand? No, it's the standard format of Musaf on the holidays is Bibne Chataenu. No, it's Atav Chatanu Ad Bibne Chataenu. We wish God would bring us back. We could do the Avodah. And therefore, right before we do the Musaf of Parsha Pinchas, we do the Seder Avodah first. Then we bring the. No, it's I forget exactly which one comes first in our Machzor, but we do the Seder Avodah together with the beginning of Musaf where we quote the Korban. In the same place we do it on every other Yom Tov. And then like every other Shmona Esrei and Yom Tov, we do Slichot, we do Hashamnu and Shmakaleinu at the end. Afterwards. And so. Anyway, I have 7:30 Marv. They move Marv up. So I have to stop here.
Okay.
Well, have a good week, and everyone have a, we'll see you before Rosh Hashanah still. Okay.
Yes.
Now you make the announcement, so I can get a catch tomorrow.
Bye-bye. And then tomorrow, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern, Benny Gesundheit, continuing a series of differences between the Bavli and Yerushalmi as regarding Tzvi'ot. And the additional share this week, Wednesday, Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky will be giving a share at 11 before Yonash here on the origins of Shofar. He always has interesting historical tidbits. So that will be 11 a.m. Eastern. I'll send out a special email about that. Okay, and then of course, next Sunday, our Yom Iyun, as we mentioned a number of times, and Rabbi Liebtag will be Saturday night at 10, and then 9:15 in the morning, I'm going to kick off the Yom Iyun, going to 1:30, 8 speakers back-to-back with a 50-minute break in the middle. But I told our speakers to speak for between 28 and a half and 29 and a half minutes. So we get between 30 and 90 seconds to stretch between shearing. So hopefully we'll be on time, but I can't control everything, but we'll do our best. But please, God, look forward to seeing you next week. And please tell your friends about it. That's even people who don't normally come, I think next week is a great opportunity to introduce them to some of the wonderful teachers we have at Torah Motion. And okay, thank you very much. We hope to see you soon. Everybody have a wonderful day. It's Labor Day weekend here. And in the States, I know people are surprised. Oh, can the Canadians have Labor Day weekend too? Yeah. We have Labor Day weekend with a U, unlike you who just have with an O. But okay, we won't, nobody got what I was talking about. Okay. Canadians understand what I'm talking about. Okay. With the OU. And, anyways, and back to school on Tuesday, but, Israel went back to school on Friday already. But, here we're very machmir. You're not allowed to teach in school till after Labor Day in Ontario. You'd get thrown into jail. You try something like that, but I don't know. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Hope to see you soon. Thank you very much. Bye bye.